mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the latest in our series of crime prevention conversations. CDC data finds fewer teens are vaping last year than the year before, but nearly half who try e-cigarettes get hooked. What kids and parents need to know about this 21st century alternative to traditional tobacco use. Also this morning, a salute to service, celebrating Women's History Month by highlighting the evolving and expanding role of women in the U.S. military. And nominations are now open for the Shine Awards. It's a national program recognizing exceptional young people who are making a positive impact in their local communities. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. So I was a little bit surprised by the 83rd House District race yesterday. Not so much that Ty Matthews won the race, but that the margin of victory was as wide as it was. I expected a much tighter race between Ty Matthews and John Cross, not the 2-1 victory that that Matthews scored. In that, I just thought that was a surprise to me that the margin of victory was as wide as it was. I expected, I don't know, like a 3, 4, or 5 point differential between the two candidates, whichever way it went. Not necessarily shocked that Ty Matthews won it, but that he won it so widely was a bit of a surprise. And the other results, not sure that I could say I was necessarily surprised either. Not surprised by the Bernie Moreno results. So not a whole lot of surprises there, other than, like we said, that eyebrow raiser in the 83rd district. And by the way, some really interesting races around the rest of the state for the legislature in the 6th district for state representative. On the Democratic ballot, now the 6th district is Franklin County, there were seven candidates running for the Democratic nomination in the 6th district. Seven candidates. And there was a five-way race in the 77th district, that is Wayne County. Was it the 77th? I believe it's the 77th district. Yeah, there were five candidates running on the Democratic ballot in that district, and it was decided by 100, exactly 100 votes was the difference in that one. So there were some interesting races statewide last night, and I don't know the final number on turnout in terms of percentage, but I can't imagine that the fact that the presidential primary had already been decided, I don't think that kept people away from the polls. I think there were enough other things going on that it didn't diminish the turnout of the poll, the fact that the presidential race had already been settled. But anyway, there'll be much more analysis of all of this as we go through the day. So as you're waking up to start your midweek Wednesday, did you get a good night's sleep last night? Or were you up late waiting for election results? 54% of Americans say that they, in order to sleep, according to a survey, this is commissioned by CERTA, 54% of Americans say they need a blanket to at least partially cover them in order to sleep. You find that even on the warmest days. Now, the past couple of nights has not been a big deal. It's been rather chilly. So, yeah, you want a blanket on the bed. But even when we get into the warmer weather months, do you have to have a blanket on the bed? Do you have to be covered up in order to sleep? 54% of Americans say they do. 86% of those in the survey say that they have to use a trick in order to fall asleep at night, like counting sheep. One of the other common tricks, using a favorite pillow. You have a favorite pillow? 46% of adults in the survey do count sheep. I just thought that was kind of interesting that 45% of us are 46% counting sheep to get to sleep. So if you didn't get a good night's sleep, maybe one of those is your problem. It's kind of interesting. To start your day, some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your day started. Put this at the top of your to-do list today. Organize your emails. Organize your emails. This is from another survey that finds 52% of those who do not organize their emails. What is this? Only 52% of respondents who do not organize their emails feel happy with themselves. So those who manage their emails more likely to feel better about their overall management skills. 71% who sort email into folders, sort their emails and organize that, feel happy with their organization skills. By the way, using cloud services to organize your stuff online, like Google Drive or iCloud, Dropbox, whatever. 83% of those who use those services felt satisfied with their management records management skills. So, I just thought it was kind of interesting. Pointing out some of these things that I happened to come across on the Newswire this morning that are worth a mention. This is kind of interesting. Research by economist Amy Finkelstein finds that during the Great Recession, mortality rates dropped in areas with higher unemployment. You wouldn't necessarily expect that, right? You'd think people being out of a job, higher stress levels, maybe greater risk for heart attack and things like that. But no, mortality rates dropped in areas with higher unemployment. Basically, people lived longer in areas with fewer jobs. Now, to explain this, perhaps you might think people have better habits. Jobless Americans would be able to exercise more or cook more home-cooked meals because they have more time on their hands. No, that's apparently not it. The answer, they say, is pollution levels. Areas with high joblessness rates also saw declines in air pollution because fewer people driving to work and using energy. So the authors of this study say our findings suggest important trade-offs between economic activity and mortality. So think of that what you will. I thought it was kind of interesting. And speaking of being healthy, how about this story? Millionaire biohacker Brian Johnson wants to create his own healthy nation, a sovereign nation where pizza, donuts, and alcohol are not allowed for health reasons. Mr. Johnson has experimented with multiple procedures to stay young and is now welcoming everyone to join his healthy nation state. While the goal is to help everyone live longer, eating junk food would be considered an act of violence, he says. Quote, I want to build the infrastructure for a government that can help its citizens not die. I'm going to outlaw pizza, donuts, alcohol? You may not die, but what would you have to live for? That's the question that I would have. And so anyway, let's see. What would you have to live for? And finally, in the among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, it's spring break time, and there is an enterprising bartender in Fort Lauderdale that is taking spring break by storm. Ayana Callis has made a name for herself and a fair amount of money by offering patrons a hurricane shot. A hurricane shot. I don't know what bar she works at, but her specialty is the hurricane shot. It is a shot of booze, a pitcher of water dumped on your head, and a slap across the face. I kid you not. That's what it, and it's $30 per person. Oh, here it is. The establishment is called The Backyard in Fort Lauderdale. As for why anyone would actually want a shot of booze, a pitcher of water dumped on their head, and a smack across the face. The website for the backyard says she is dishing out 150 to 200 of these hurricane shots a night, which translates to as much as $6,000 a night for bartender Ayanna Callis. I don't know why anyone would want something like that, but I guess for the experience, you can say that you did it. While she didn't invent the shot and the chaser, her athletic skills have made her a hit on social media. She has started her own website where you can book her for private parties. She says of her customers, quote, they think it's entertaining, they think it's funny, they think it's an experience. It's really all just in good fun. So, anyway. Shot, pitcher of water poured over your head, and a slap in the face. And it's the big thing at spring break this year. Okay. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly sunny and windy today, a high around 40, just a few clouds tonight, low in the mid-20s. Ohio's primary election was on Tuesday, and unofficial results have Ty Matthews defeating incumbent state representative John Cross.
No matter your background, no matter your political persuasion, I will always come to the table, and I will try my best to always have my phone, my email, and whatever means that you can communicate with me, I will always be there for you.
In the race for Hancock County Sheriff, Mike Cortez was victorious. And in the race for Hancock County Commissioner, Jeffrey Hunker got the nod in that one. All results are unofficial until certified by the Board of Elections. Get more election results in the story on our website. Former Ohio priest Michael Zacharias, who is serving life in prison for sexual abuse, has been dismissed from the Catholic Church by the Pope.
According to the diocese, his case was transmitted to the Holy See, that is the governing body overseeing Vatican City. The case was sent with the request that the Pope dismiss Father Zacharias from the clerical state. Zacharias was sentenced to life in prison last year for sex trafficking minors and adults. He served in multiple parishes, including in Toledo, Fremont, and Findlay.
WTOL 11's Melissa Andrews reporting. There's support for a trail system called the Great American Rail Trail that could allow for travel across America by connecting existing trails to create a continuous 3,700-mile walking and biking route.
One plan puts the trail through Ohio, entering west of Dayton and heading up to near Akron, then southeastward to the Steubenville area and on into West Virginia. I'm Tracy Townsend.
This is Severe Weather Awareness Week in Ohio, and the statewide tornado drill will be held this morning. The drill coincides with Ohio's Severe Weather Awareness Week this week. Businesses, schools, and households are encouraged to practice their tornado drills and emergency plans this week during Severe Weather Awareness Week. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
And now the latest in our series of crime prevention conversations. We're talking about teens and vaping. And Findlay Police Department Crime Prevention Officer Brian White is with us once again this morning. The good news, as we were mentioning a little bit earlier, CDC data finds that fewer teens were vaping last year than the year before. Do you see that locally, though?
Sure. Kind of the same report came out from the Ohio Department of Health is that things are on a decline. However, when you look at statistics, a lot of that can be reporting, right? How these reports are coming in. Mm-hmm. Here locally, I actually ran a report this morning, and we took in about 160 different vaping devices last year over the course of the year.
Now, when you say taking in, right, you mean seizing them?
Correct.
From
as evidence going into our property.
Okay.
Now, we can't really differentiate between a youth-centered complaint versus an adult-centered complaint because our system just doesn't have that ability right now. Mm-hmm. However, in most of these cases, you would presume that it probably has to do with youth.
Yeah, because vaping for adults is not necessarily against the law.
Correct.
Unless they're vaping something they shouldn't be vaping.
Correct. And also, it could be more than one device, right? So that doesn't necessarily say 160 good cases
point.
Per se.
Yeah, good point. One of the things that stood out to me in the CDC data, which, by the way, was released at the tail end of last year, that nearly half of teens who tried e-cigarettes got hooked.
Absolutely. There's many studies out there that show that someone that vape, you know, the addiction is so much higher because of the concentration in nicotine. Mm-hmm. And those that use them in the first place are more likely to smoke. They're four times more likely simply because they're trying to get themselves away from vapes and are moving on to tobacco, completely against the way these things were designed in the first place.
Right. So we bring all of this up because this is actually the topic for the latest Creating Community event, which is happening here in a couple of weeks at the Marathon Center. Will you be talking about this in great detail?
That's correct. Yep, I will be one of the speakers there Thursday, April 4th at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. That's going to be at 6 p.m. is when the presentation starts. There will be a resource fair starting at 5:30 as well. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be the center of our discussion for the evening is vapes and e-cigarettes in our community. And regardless if it's a vape or e-cigarette, we're talking about the same devices.
Right. Just different terminology, basically, for the same thing. And they do take different forms.
Absolutely.
And all of that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that will likely come up during the course of that event. Obviously, the first thing that comes up, the first argument or the first question that comes up, are these things really that bad? Aren't they less dangerous than traditional, conventional tobacco use?
Well, I think most people in the prevention world will tell you yes, simply because it's not really a taboo subject like smoking is. Mm-hmm. Kids, they understand smoking's kind of nasty, dirty. It's not something I want to do. It's bad for me. There's all that research. Mm-hmm. They've been conditioned to know that this is something that's
and
bad.
And that's been a concerted effort over the past 20, 30 years.
More like 40 and 50. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But really has caught on in the past couple, 3 decades.
Sure. And I've had people tell me, hey, these things are, it's just flavored air, right? I mean, it's exactly. It's water vapor.
Right.
Well, even water in our lungs is not necessarily a good thing, but a lot of research has shown that this has a lot more, such as different metals, and actually many of the same things that we find in cigarettes. So the general consensus is that they're just as bad, if not worse, than tobacco, simply because of the concentrated amounts of nicotine and the metals going into our system.
Mm-hmm. So what is the key to keeping kids away from these devices? Is it pretty much the same thing as tobacco?
Yeah, access is the biggest thing. We have actually had cases here in Findlay where elementary school kids bring these to school.
Elementary school.
Correct. Kids. And it's not something where they are utilizing these devices. They just happen to see them laying around the house, say, hey, that looks kind of cool, especially with all the different designs that you might find on these devices.
Right.
So they kind of stash it in their book bag, take it to school, show someone, and then, of course, that's how it's revealed that they have them. So access is a really big thing. Mm-hmm. Make sure that if you own one of these devices, that you're keeping it away from small children. As a matter of fact, the Ohio Department of Health released a report last year at the end of 2023 talking about hospital admissions due to exposure to these oils within these devices. Mm-hmm. And there were 328 people admitted to hospitals. 263 of those were under the age of 5. Hmm. So that highlights why this is a big deal.
You know, that's an interesting point and something that I don't think really many of us consider, that if we're not actively vaping this, that it's not not dangerous, but nicotine can be absorbed through the skin. So if you just come into contact with this liquid, get it on your hands or what have you,
correct,
you can actually OD on this.
Correct. And if you look at the average amount of nicotine in one of these cartridges, mm-hmm. that's generally the top end of the level when it comes to exposure, according to the CDC, as far as overdose goes.
Yeah.
So not that someone that's using one of these devices is using all that oil at once,
right.
but let's say someone was to ingest all this oil at once.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually talking about something that was used as an insecticide. I mean, it's a poison.
Yeah. And again, I circle back to the question of are people, especially parents, taking this as seriously as they need to?
Well, that's a tough one to gauge. I think it comes down to education. I mean, a lot of people, they just see these devices. They don't really think much of them. Mm-hmm. We don't really worry about it until it becomes an issue for us. Right.
Yeah.
And relatively, these things are fairly new. I mean, we talk about them being designed back in 2003 in China, but they really didn't hit the market in the United States until about 2008. So,
yeah.
Although they've been around, they haven't been around that long.
Yeah, less than 20 years, well less than 20 years. So that actually plays into some of the question marks about this because we really don't know. There's not a whole lot of long-term studies on the effects of these.
Correct, and that's one of the things I bring up with kids in class because this is something that we talk about when I go into the classrooms mm-hmm. is vapes. And I mentioned how when they came on the market, they quite literally exploded because the battery packs were prone to overheating
right.
and
right.
you know, bursting in people's pockets. Well, that was just one problem, right? Then we learned about diacetyl, how that causes the lungs to be damaged and causes respiratory distress,
mm-hmm.
right? So we've taken that out as well. So it's constantly an evolving mm-hmm. study to figure out what's wrong with these things.
And when you talk to young people, what is their perception of this? I mean, we talk about the parents' perception and you know, do we take this as seriously as we need to? What about the youth?
In talking with youth, they understand that it is something that can hurt them, right? Because we talk with them, educators, we talk about vapes, it's in the schools, just how bad, right? Obviously, we always go back to that question of, well, are vapes really as bad as smoking or not, right?
Yeah.
Especially we're talking about something that doesn't have that stigma, right? That dirty, nasty kind mm-hmm. of tobacco, which a lot of people kind of equate, especially younger
which
generations.
Which it doesn't. I mean, it's cleaner. It's not as, there's not the after effects and so on.
And it's a techie device, right? Something
right.
you plug into the
sure.
wall, piece
exactly.
of electronics. And again, designs, when you look at the different designs mm-hmm. out there,
right.
you something for everyone.
Different
not,
flavors.
Whether I'm a Batman fan, Superman, whoever, there's something mm-hmm. for everyone.
Right.
And many of these designs have childlike graphics.
Yeah.
And that's one of the concerning parts.
And that's, that's the concern is, and again, we were talking a little bit earlier about the 20, 30 years ago when the tobacco companies actually were forced to admit
yep.
that they were targeting youth. That's what's happening now with these
marketing
devices.
Absolutely yeah. correct. You know, no one wants to think of someone targeting our youth when it comes to something that can harm them
mm-hmm.
health-wise. But
right.
When you look at these different devices that are out there, the designs of them, not to mention devices that are being hidden to not look like a vape device.
Right.
Maybe it looks more like a cell phone. Maybe it looks more like a USB drive, right?
Yeah, something that can
things that we can hide that parents aren't aware of.
Yeah,
it kind of says something.
And again, the concern here is that this becomes a gateway to other more serious things.
Sure, absolutely. It's again the biggest thing is four times more likely. I have talked with students before in high school that they are trying to quit vapes by smoking, right? And again, vapes were designed as a tool to help people quit smoking. That's a little bit of a paradox.
Yeah, and that's really disturbing. Mention the vaping event, the creating community event that is happening on April the 4th. So coming up here in just a couple of weeks, give us all of the details again on this.
Yeah, so again, it's going to be Thursday, April 4th at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. There will be plenty of resource tables there for people that are curious and need information. That opens up at 5:30. The presentations will begin about 6 p.m. Generally, we would look for about an hour and a half worth of presentations, sometimes go 2 hours, kind of depends on what topics come up. But it's going to be much more of a Q&A type.
I was going to say, this would be an opportunity for folks to get their questions answered and their concerns addressed.
Absolutely. Yep. So if you're curious of what's going on in our community and what is involved with vapes, come on out.
And this is a controlled substance. I mean,
correct, correct.
And it's supposed to be sold to youth under the age of, what is it, 18, 21?
21. 21. Yep. So they are now classified as a tobacco product, just like tobacco is. It used to be not the case. When vapes first came out, they were their own category. And
right.
Restrictions were relatively lax in the beginning, but now they are classified as a tobacco product. So anyone under the age of 21, it would be illegal to possess or consume them.
Again, FPD Crime Prevention Officer Brian White with us this morning for another of our crime prevention conversations. We've got a link up on our webpage for more information. Brian, thanks very much for dropping by.
Hey, Chris. It. Thanks for having me.
Well, our salute to military service this morning. Women in the Army aren't just breaking barriers. Certainly, they are doing that, but they are also improving the force for the next generation. Countless female soldiers redefining what it means to serve. And so, with this being Women's History Month, we want to talk with a soldier leading the Army's female mentorship and morale program, a first-of-its-kind initiative to support women in uniform. It is Colonel Clydia Pritchard-Brown. First of all, Colonel, talk a little bit about your journey to the Army. How did you land where you are now?
Well, thank you for asking. I actually have a long line of Army service members or military service members in my family, but that wasn't why I chose to join the Army. I actually chose to join the Army because I was a college student and ran out of money. So I enlisted in the Army in 1991 with the goal of finishing paying for college and finishing to get my degree. Coincidentally, I have a twin sister, Colonel Clydelia Pritchard Allen, who had the same goal. So we both enlisted in the military, in the Army, so that we could finish college because we were product. We have a single mom who was helping us pay for college, but we, like I said, ran out of money. And so 32 years later, not only did we finish college, but I have a bachelor's degree and two master's degrees.
Well, there you go. And as we mentioned, you lead up the Army's Female Mentorship and Morale Program. Tell us what that is and why it is such an important resource for women in the Army today.
Absolutely. So the Female Mentoring Morale Program is a Secretary of the Army endorsed program that supports the people first strategy, which is where the Army is going. We want to put people first and help them understand that we care. It provides a personal and professional development platform for men and women to come together as service members and civilians with a focus on empowering women that are serving in the Army today.
There historically has been the mindset, I know, that women are sort of secondary in the military. It took a long time for female members of the military to reach an equitable position with their male counterparts. What else is the Army doing today to enhance the experiences and the opportunities for female soldiers?
Well, that's a great question. And you're absolutely right. The Army has changed over the time. We've changed the culture of only having male leaders. And with that, we are proud to have our first female Secretary of the Army, Honorable Christine Wormuth, who not only puts the pride and the importance of having an equal and equitable Army. She puts her money where her mouth is. She formed the Army Women's Initiative team, where they focus on addressing the policies and procedures that impact all soldiers, but with an interest of ensuring that women are considered important and ensuring that we have services and opportunities just like our male counterparts. The program that I mentor and provide leadership over is supported by her because, again, with the People First strategy, our goal is to provide that safe environment and safe platform for women to feel they can come and address the concerns. But not only that, seek mentorship as they navigate through the Army and try to grow to become that senior leader and prepare the Army for the next generation.
As you mentioned, you have more than 30 years experience in the Army, so you have seen much of that change firsthand, that evolution over time. When you sit back and you think big picture of your career, do you think of yourself as a trailblazer for other women in the Army? And you know, what goes through your mind when you think about that role?
Well, I often sit back, and that's a great question. I often sit back and remember PFC Pritchard, that private that enlisted in 1991,
yeah,
who didn't have any of these programs that exist now, and was trying to figure out, how do I navigate in the Army with all of these men around me? Well, the few female leaders that I did see, or the senior ranking to me at that time was senior ranking, I tried to emulate my life after them by saying, I can be just as strong. But I knew I needed to find a voice. And so learning and watching helped me grow and to becoming that leader. Well, with that, I remembered those times that I did it. So I said I was going to provide not only my own journey, but a platform where many of us that have risen to the ranks that I'm at now are able to give back and provide that mentorship and guidance for the next generation coming along. And so, yes, the Army's culture has changed, and we have so much more that we're doing that allow women to reach their full potential.
And is that really what inspired you to create that the female mentoring and morale program?
There are so many reasons that inspired me to create it. One, having been that private that would have wanted a program like this, mm-hmm. that I could turn to, one, someone that looked like me that could tell me what I was going to experience as a mother in the Army. You know, I didn't think for a while I could have children, but
yeah.
Learned that the Army does want us to have a family, because that's what makes us a unique and great organization of family members that support us and keep us motivated. But not only that, what motivated me was knowing that there were soldiers that were experiencing challenges. And because I know I have the rank now that I can make a difference in their life, It was nothing for me to pick up the phone and call a senior leader to say, hey, something's going on in your formation and I'm here to help that soldier through it. And so that's what our platform is here to do. Not only support, but be that cheerleader in the background to help keep them motivated to continue to serve.
This is maybe a big question, maybe even an unfair question, but if you could boil it down to one top piece of career advice that you would give to a young woman today, what would it be?
So I'll try to make it a one type thing, but it has three letters and three words in it. I have it. I call it the three P's to perfection. First of all, I want them to be passionate. Find their passion. Whatever passion, if you don't have passion for a certain career, joining the Army will definitely help you find a passion, because we have so many job opportunities out there for women and men, but definitely women to come in and seek the opportunity to excel in. Not only that, they have to be persistent. Being persistent means you're going to meet challenges and not accomplish a goal right at the first time, but continue, be persistent, and strive to learn whatever you didn't learn and become that subject matter expert to where you're now proud of the accomplishments that you made. And then finally, always persevere. You're going to meet challenges, but what you do is find a mentor. You find a program like the FMMP or Female Mentor Morale Program, and you have that sounding board where somebody's going to keep you motivated to continue on your journey, because life's not easy. So you need somebody there to help you realize you are worth every accomplishment and every success that you're going to seek.
Again, Colonel Clydia Pritchard-Brown, certainly an inspiring leader, heads up the Army's Female Mentorship and Morale Program in honor of Women's History Month. Colonel, where do we get more information?
Go to GoArmy.com. That's the place you learn about all of the job opportunities and experiences and all of the great programs that are out there that will help you grow in your life and create a great career. But not only that, it tells you how to do it. It gives you the answers to how you're able to join the military, join the Army, and then the different opportunities that are there waiting for you.
Our salute to service this morning, Colonel Clydia Pritchard-Brown. Thank you very much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
It is the first full day of spring today. That is the big news. Never mind the election. Never mind March Madness. Is your bracket already busted? By the way, just had the first four games. Games of the first four in Dayton. Your brass bracket already busted?
Yeah.
I had Howard in the first game, so my bracket is already busted. Anyway, no, it is the first day of spring, and yesterday, as we said, doesn't really count anyway, since the vernal equinox didn't actually happen until after 11 p.m. And, of course, many of us have already been experiencing a touch of spring fever with an early taste of the nice weather last week, and even before that, we got some nice days sprinkled in there. It is really getting us ready for the change of season. So joining us this morning with what you need for the season ahead is award-winning host and lifestyle expert Arielle Hixon with her 2024 Spring Trends Forecast to embrace this year. Arielle, what's your holy grail of spring wellness routines? What would be at the top of the list?
Well, at the core of every wellness routine is personal hygiene, and this includes oral care. So whether you're looking to better protect against cavities or address your gum health, Crest has a solution for you. A quick reality checkup is that people might not know that when it comes to their oral health, that grimy coating that forms in your teeth throughout the day is actually cavity-causing bacteria. And if you're dealing with bleeding gums, that's actually a sign of a bacterial infection. It's important to know that not all toothpaste are created equal, and choosing the right one is everything. While most stop working in minutes, Crest Pro Health antibacterial fluoride protects teeth for up to 12 hours, and Crest Gum Detoxify is clinically proven to work below the gum line to heal gums and help stop gum bleeding. You can find both of these products at Crest.com and retailers nationwide.
I thought this was kind of interesting. It says here you have some tips to make the most of our spring travel plans. Get into spring break season. People are starting to think about that now.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? My number one tip is to strive for those savings. People everywhere are trying to plan trips to escape the cold and go on a much-needed yet cost-effective getaway. And that's why RetailMeNot is excited to announce the return of its Spring Staycation Savings event to help shoppers save money on upcoming vacations from hotels, flights, fashion, accessories, car rentals, and beyond from brands like Expedia, Booking.com, Nike, IHG, Target, and more. The online shopping event at RetailMeNot.com will feature hundreds of exclusive stackable deals and cashback offers on amazing spring break travel. And as an added bonus, you can apply to be a RetailMeNot Ultimate Sun Seeker for a chance to win an all-paid vacation to a mystery destination in partnership with Flyers.
Very good. Any other trends that we should know about as we head into the warmer weather season?
Well, keeping your health in check is always on trend, and March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Now, this type of cancer is the number one killer among men under 50 and number two for women under 50, just behind breast cancer, according to a recent ACS report. Screening is crucial for early detection and improving survival rates, and imagine if you can do it in the comfort of your own home. Well, you can with the Everly Well Fit Colon Cancer Screening Test, which is a simple, non-invasive way to regularly screen for colon cancer at home. This simple test, intended for people 45 and older, detects hidden blood in the stool, which is a potential early sign. The Everly Well at-home fit test is an easy, reliable, and affordable option. And this March, it's 20% off with the code FIT20 when you visit everlywell.com.
Very good. Again, award-winning host and lifestyle expert Arielle Hixon with us this morning. Arielle, where do we get more information?
Well, for more information, you can head to each of the brand's websites. And, of course, just hoping that you and your listeners have a very happy, healthy, and exciting spring ahead.
Arielle, thanks very much for taking the time. Happy spring.
Thank you. Happy spring to you, too.
Information that makes a difference. Good mornings with Chris Oaks on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
We begin this morning in the international file, where a glitch in Ethiopia let some bank customers withdraw money that they didn't have. And this was a big glitch. The Commercial Bank of Ethiopia students were first to notice the glitch and spread the news, causing lines to form at campus ATMs on Saturday. By the time the bank discovered the problem, more than $40 million had been withdrawn or transferred to other banks. $40 million! Somebody had to think something was up when they saw the big lines of college students at an ATM. although maybe not. I mean, it was a Saturday. Maybe they were thinking, well, they're lining up for drinking money. Something. I don't know, but $40 million had been absconded from the Commercial Bank of Ethiopia before the bank caught on. They are now struggling to recover the money, and the bank has said that anyone who returns the funds will not be charged with a crime. Oops! How would you like to be the person who ultimately was found to be responsible for that glitch in the system? I mean, I don't know how it happened, but I would not want to be the one who was responsible for that. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, police are searching, police in East Haven, Connecticut are searching for a pair of literal cat burglars. You've heard the term, but it doesn't usually apply literally. In this case, it does. Police say that two armed men broke into a Connecticut home through a sliding door at the back of the home. The residents told police that they tried to keep the suspects out, but one of them managed to kick through the glass door, and upon entering the house, the would-be thieves reportedly pulled out a firearm and demanded the residents hand over their cat. That's right. Hand over your cat. We're here for the cat. One of the home's residents managed to fight off the intruders after they searched the home for the pet. The suspects left the house empty-handed and fled in a blue BMW. So some pretty high-dollar cat burglars, or would-be cat burglars. Detectives located the vehicle shortly thereafter, where it was seized and processed for evidence. Police determined that the home invasion was targeted and that the intruders were familiar with the home and those who lived in it. No injuries were reported. An investigation is ongoing, and the cat apparently is safe. Hand over your cat. Weird. Dwayne Leon Whitmore of Cleveland, Georgia is in the broken news this morning. He has pleaded guilty to impersonating a Gainesville, Georgia police officer. On Friday, Mr. Whitmore reportedly used a photo of an officer to create a profile on a dating app. And he created a profile in which the officer purportedly was looking for another male companion. It was a homosexual profile on a dating app that Mr. Whitmire created under the guise of this officer. And why would he do this, you ask? Well, apparently Mr. Whitmire created the profile to get back at the cop who gave him a traffic ticket. He wanted a little revenge. So he posted a homosexual profile on a dating app. The department said that Mr. Whitmire's alleged act was an attempt to embarrass, harass, and or discredit our organization for his benefit. He was upset that he got a speeding ticket. And so he came up with the scheme, create a fake dating profile. Apparently, it led off with the line, "I'm looking for my dream man to cuddle with." Yeah, that's not a good thing. Don't do that. And a couple of other items here in the broken news this morning. Residents of Natchez, Mississippi are all abuzz about an 18-wheeler carrying a load of bees that overturned on State Highway 61. Representatives from the Addy Honey Farm in nearby Woodville saved the day by rushing to the site and smoking the area to help keep the bees relaxed until the hives could be loaded and transported back to Woodville. According to local news reports, aiding the beekeepers was the fact that the beehives were covered in a tarp and the accident happened at night, which helped calm the bees and keep them contained. But a truckload of bees overturning on the highway. And if that wasn't bad enough, this story out of Pennsylvania, motorists on a stretch of eastbound Interstate 78 in Northampton County faced a rough commute last week after a, or was it earlier this week? I think it was earlier this week. Anyway, motorists faced a rough commute after an accident caused a dump truck to spill manure all over the highway. Boy, that stinks. The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation said all eastbound lanes of I-78 had to be shut down, causing stop-and-go traffic for miles. The dump truck was carrying manure and mushrooms. Trooper Nathan Branowski, a spokesperson for the Pennsylvania State Police, says the scene was cleared and the highway reopened about 11:15 in the morning. But can you imagine trying to explain to your boss why you were late? Oh, there was crap all over the highway. No, literally, there was crap all over the highway. Wow. What a crappy situation. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When you're behind the wheel, it's okay to rock out to your music, but it's not okay to interact with your phone screen and electronic devices while driving. In most cases, anything more than a single touch or swipe is against the law. That means no texting, no typing, no scrolling, no shopping, no browsing. If an officer sees a violation, they can pull you over. So remember, Ohio, phones down. It's the law.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Today is the International Day of Happiness, and with that, the annual World Happiness Report is out, ranking the happiest countries on Earth. And once again, it is the Nordic countries that are at the top of the list, with Finland taking the top spot for the seventh year in a row. Finland, the happiest country in the world. Now, the way they put this together, they draw on global survey data from people in more than 140 countries, which are ranked on happiness based on their average life evaluations over the preceding 3 years. So in this case, the survey is from 2021, 2022, and 2023. They look at six key variables, including GDP per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom, generosity, and perceptions of corruption. The survey asks each participant to score their life as a whole, considering what they value in that list. And that's important when you get to some of the, when you dig down on some of the details here. Other Nordic countries also earn reliably high scores. Finland was number one, Denmark was number two, Iceland was number three, and Sweden was fourth on the list. Israel may come in as a surprise, number five, given all the issues there of late, although the report's authors point out that the rankings are based on a three-year rolling average, which often mutes the effect of cataclysmic events happening during any specific calendar year. After those top five, the Netherlands is number six, Luxembourg number eight, Switzerland is number nine, and Australia is number 10. The United States ranks 23rd, dropped out of the top 20 for the very first time, in part because of a rise in happiness among other countries, but also because young people scored the U.S. significantly lower than older age groups did. This was the first time that the survey broke out those responses by age group. Among people under 30, the U.S. ranked only number 62. And remember some of the factors they take into account. The U.S. was only ranked at number 62 among those under 30, while for those age 60 and older, the U.S. was number 10. Overall, the United States, number 23. The top country for happiness among young people Lithuania, of all places. I don't know why. Lithuania is at the top of the list for those under the age of 30. On the other end of the spectrum, Afghanistan remains the world's lowest ranked country for happiness. Probably not a surprise. Lebanon, Lesotho, I don't know where that is, Sierra Leone, and Congo also ranked at the bottom of the list. I would imagine, given the current headlines, Haiti has to be right down there as well at the bottom. The World Happiness Report, by the way, a project of the Vancouver School of Economics at the University of British Columbia, Canada. Well, you may remember last year about this time when we told you about the Shine Awards, which recognize exceptional young adults who are making a positive impact in their local communities. Well, they are back for the 15th annual Shine Awards this year, with nominations being accepted through the end of the month. And joining us once again is Orlana Darkins-Drury, Executive Director and co-founder of the Shine Awards Foundation. And Orlana, for the benefit of those who may be kind of late to the party here and maybe missed us talking about this in the past, explain what the Shine Awards are and why they were created.
Yes, so the Shine Awards is a national premier award ceremony that celebrates the positive accomplishments of young people anywhere in the world between the ages of 13 and 24. And it was created because the media doesn't portray a balanced representation of young adults. So our mission is to change the societal perceptions of young people. And as you know, that includes when we label all young people as being privileged and slackers. Yeah. We want to stop that type of language and celebrate the good things they're doing.
Now, what is the broader mission here? I mean, what is the primary goal in recognizing these young people? Because as you mentioned, yes, it's about changing perceptions, but also about, you know, making sure that we put kids or keep kids on the right path.
Exactly. What we found in doing the Shine Awards, it actually has become a blueprint for many of our young people, where we recognize them, even them knowing that they're being nominated, puts them in this mindset that they want to achieve more. Mm-hmm. So in having the Shine Awards, it really is a blueprint by spotlighting positive achievement, offering mentoring. A lot of our Shine honorees, they end up being peers to each other, offering mentorship to each other. We've had honorees who, you know, they were straight A students, but didn't think they could get into a college, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But then being awarded a Shine Awards gave them the confidence that, maybe I can make it in.
Yeah.
So we've had stories of young people thinking they weren't good enough. They got honored.
Hmm.
And now, you know, they're getting their PhD or they're opening their own mentoring organization. Well, we actually have a young person who their grand opening is next week in Pittsburgh. He's opening his own.
That's awesome.
His own building. Yeah.
and you know, that's actually kind of the risk that we run when we talk about how the perceptions quite often of young people are not positive, and some of the portrayals of young people are not positive. That has an effect those young people and how they feel about themselves, and they see that and they mirror that.
Exactly. And you know, for myself, my own personal story is the reason why it's even lasted this long. My personal fuel is when I was a young adult, I lived in a low income community, but I had good grades, good citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
When I would share my successes with other adults, somewhere in a conversation, you know, they would say, "So where do you live? Like, where are you from?" I would say the name of my neighborhood, and they instantly thought I was not, my journey, yeah, in life was going to be a failure.
Right, right.
Just based on my zip code. But luckily, you know, again, I grew up in a strong Christian home where I had self-confidence. But so many young people, what about that young person that doesn't? And that right. really discourages him or her.
We mentioned this now 15 years, and this started in Pittsburgh. How cool has it been to see this sort of expand? And as you mentioned, now a nationwide thing.
I know. It is mind-blowing. Our mission was just to prove a point that in Pittsburgh, young people were doing great things.
Yeah.
So to see that when we started getting nominations from California and Texas and Maryland, we're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So it's really awesome. And it's awesome to see families come into the city of Pittsburgh to watch their child receive a Shine Award.
That is awesome. So as we mentioned, nominations are open through the end of the month. How can somebody, first of all, who can nominate someone and how do they do that?
Yes. Yeah, so anyone can nominate a young adult. In fact, a young adult can nominate him or herself. And they can go to our website, which is theshineawards.org. And we spell shine with a Y. If they want to call us, have questions, we can be reached at 1-855-55-SHINE, S-H-Y-N-E.
You mentioned that this can serve as a blueprint for encouraging young people to make positive decisions, to become positive contributors to their communities, to society as a whole. And this is something that, again, is universal. We can all do. Again, just to circle back to that overarching mission.
Right. You know, the Shine Awards is just one arm of that. But yes, you're right. It's something that we can do every day, not reiterating these stereotypical labels just blanket across young people. My husband works with youth, and he had an exercise where he had them to describe who they thought they were. And all of the descriptions were negative. And he asked them, why wouldn't you write something positive about yourself? And they said to him, well, that's what they call us. And yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So yes, it's something that we can do every day, even if it's just in your household. If your child does the dishes without you saying do the dishes, acknowledge that. Positive yeah. reinforcement goes a long way. And I want to say too, just really quick about the Shine Awards, one thing that we're also very proud of that we didn't have to do ourselves, the young people over the years call it the Grammys for teens because it is so lavish. They are the stars for that evening. We pick them up in luxury cars. There's a red carpet ceremony. They're interviewed by our media sponsors. And of course, the Shine Awards itself. So it really is an opportunity for them to feel like stars.
Yeah, I was going to mention, there are a number of different categories. We should mention this, too. It's in community service, in academics, also in the arts, entrepreneurship. You also have a category for service in ministry. Again, as you mentioned, going back to your Christian background, so leadership, science, there are a number of different categories. And if folks are interested, we have a link on our webpage where you can find out more about the Shine Awards and how to nominate a young person. Once again, Orlana Darkins Drury with us, the executive director and co-founder of the Shine Awards Foundation with us. Orlana, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you again so much for the invitation, and keep shining.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow morning on the program, the National Association of Realtors has settled a major lawsuit over the way agent and broker commissions are structured and applied. What does this mean for people who are buying and selling homes moving forward? We'll take a closer look. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.